Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our gospel reading from John chapter 5, and we're focusing on these words that Jesus speaks. I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Let's pray together. Lord God, Heavenly Father, again, how wonderful and blessed it is to gather to hear your word, the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Send your Holy Spirit to work through this word, to work faith in our hearts, and may that faith overflow in lives of love toward others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Power of the cross, and power is in bold, and that's what we're focusing on for Lent, because as we've said, it not only reveals our brokenness and need for redemption, but it also reveals our need for a good witness to the world to show the godly power that Jesus alone possesses. So today, this is the first of four characteristics of that godly power, and it's all centered around these words, not my will, but yours. Will. What do we mean by that? Is it striving? Is it trying to get stuff done? Like, I will do this? Well, in a way, what it means is that we want something. We want something for our own personal benefit. We want to gain something, some advantage, or we want to avoid something detrimental. So that's our will. So what does this have to do with worldly power? Well, all too often, people, and that includes you and me as God's people, we use this power in worldly ways. When we actually flip those words around and say, not your will, but mine be done. You see, we want something. We want to gain some advantage. We want to avoid something bad, and we want it often at the expense of others. You know, we want to exert our will against someone. That's why we get into arguments about what we should do or not do. You know, this whole debate about the masks, and it's still ongoing. But it's all a bunch of people saying, no, 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 here's what I want. And I don't care what you want. My will be done. We see it in last summer's riots and the attacks on the police. These were people just saying, what matters most is my will, not yours, and I'm going to take what I want. We see it in politics, definitely. Someone's got an agenda, and they're going to push it through. They're not even willing to listen to the other side. We see it in arguments. I have to be right here. My will be done, not yours. We see it in going behind someone's back to get things done. I mean, not listening to what they have to say, not compromising, not making, you know, meeting in the middle, but instead, no, my will be done, even if I have to get it done around you. This is where we say, my will be done, even if it hurts you, harms you, even if it tears our relationship apart, I'm getting this done. Not your will, but mine be done. You've said it, I've said it, you've thought it, I've thought it. But when we say these words, who are we really saying them to? We're saying them to the Father. Not your will, but my will be done, Heavenly Father. Because even though our Father has created us and designed our entire life, how we should think, what we should say, what we should do, when we say these words, it shows our rebellion against him. It shows that we are going our own way, we are assuming our own authority, And it shows up in two different ways. The one that we're used to is pride. The Heavenly Father commands us, "You shall have no other gods before me." But what do we end up saying? Well, not your will, but mine be done. I'm going to put ultimate trust in anything else. Money, reputation, leaders, anything else but you, Father. Our Heavenly Father says, "You shall not murder." And Jesus interprets that as, don't even get angry at someone. But how often do we say, "No, Father, not your will, but mine"? You see, I have a right to be angry. I have a right to lash out at others. Not your will, but mine. Pride. That's what that is. But then there's also times of desperation. When we are brought to the end of our rope and we cry out to God rightly in prayer, right? We go to Him in prayer, we say, "Heavenly Father, I need your help." But how often do you pray, "Fix this"? I'm in some bad situation. Money's tight. I've got cancer. My relationships are breaking down. So you fix this, God. You see, you need to conform your will to mine because I know what's best here. Not your will, but mine, Heavenly Father. You see, in the end, it's all about what we want. Our will be done and not our Father's. That's our use of worldly power. And that brings us to Jesus. And when we look at Jesus, we see the complete 180. In our text here, Jesus declares that what the Father wills is what Jesus wills as well. "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. I seek not my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me." Jesus is not acting on His own authority, but the Father's. He's not doing His own thing when He comes among us. No, He is doing the Father's thing. He's not speaking His own words. He is merely saying what the Father is saying. But Jesus is not just speaking into thin air here. We have to consider what is going on when Jesus says these words. Jesus had just healed a man who had been paralyzed for 38 years, and He had told him to get up, take your mat, and walk. So the man did. But Jesus had done this on the Sabbath day when there is absolutely no work that's supposed to be done. And so the Jewish leaders, they were mad at Jesus. "How dare you heal on the Sabbath, and how dare you say that you are equal with the Father, thus claiming to be God?" But in response, Jesus says these words just simply to tell them, "Look, I'm just doing the Father's will here. He wants me to do this, and that's what I'm doing." And not just healing for someone's benefit, not my own. No. I'm doing all these things to do greater works than just healing this man. I'm going to do greater works like forgive sin, like give eternal life, like raise the dead. You see, Jesus does not use his power for his own personal benefit. He's not trying to get more followers. He's not trying to shame people into submission. No. He derives his power from his complete reliance and submission to his heavenly Father's will. And this is nowhere more demonstrated than when Jesus is on his knees in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. It is there he asks his Father, "Father, take this cup from me." The cup of the crucifixion, the cup of God's wrath for our sin. Why? If Jesus is in submission to the Father's will, why would he even ask his Father to take this cup away? Because Jesus has zero personal benefit from all of this. In a way, this is not Jesus' will. Who would want to deliberately go to the cross? Who would want to deliberately be beaten, mocked, flogged, spit upon, and nails roughly shoved into your flesh and hung up for the whole world to see? Who would deliberately want to drink the cup of the Father's wrath for our sin? Jesus is certainly tempted here to say, "No, Father, not your will, but mine be done." But instead, he says, "Not my will, but yours be done, Heavenly Father." Jesus knows the Father's will. He knows that he will drink the cup. And he knows this is not for the Father's benefit. This is for our benefit. So Jesus does the Father's will. For the joy that is set before him, he endures the cross, despising its shame. As he is beaten, as he is mocked, as he is flogged, as he has a crown of thorns shoved into his scalp, as he is forced to carry the beam of his cross all the way to Golgotha, as the nails are shoved into his hands and his feet, as he is hung up and strung up for everyone to mock him and rail at him, as he drinks the entire cup of the Lord's wrath over our sin, down to the dregs, our cups overflow with his love, with his mercy, with his grace, with his forgiveness of our sin. Because Jesus said, "Not my will, but yours be done, Heavenly Father," the Father's will is done to you and me. In Jesus, the Father's will was always to save you from your sin, to reconcile you to himself, to get you back from all those times we give in to our sinful, selfish will. It is through the cross alone that the Father forgives your sin. It is through the cross alone that the Father forgives all those times we give in to worldly power, all those times when we said to the Father, "Not your will, mine be done," whether out of pride or whether in desperation. But the Father's will in Jesus was always to bring us under the power of the cross, so that you and I are constantly praying, "Not my will, but yours be done, Heavenly Father." You see, it's only under the power of the cross that we don't seek our own personal benefit, but the benefit of others. We don't seek our own way, but the Father's way. It is only under the power of the cross that we do not seek our own selfish will, doing things at the expense of others, but the Father's will, where we go to others and fill their cups with His love, His service, His mercy, His encouragement, His forgiveness, His life, His righteousness, until their cups overflow. Not my will, but yours be done, Heavenly Father. I pray that that is our prayer, our life, our will. And the good news is that you are in Christ, and therefore His words, His life, and His will overflow through you and me. Amen.